beat the Georgia Bulldogs, you're gonna feel the bulldog.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Row 60, a Georgia football podcast. My name is Clark Gaines. Joining me today, as always, Adam Thornton.
Boom!
And this is show number 129. We are back, folks, on the mics on our set. This feels Adam.
It does feel good. It does feel good. That was a fun episode we did, a little Florida recap right after the game on the road right there. That was pretty cool. Great job on brainstorming and figuring out how we can make that happen, Clark, and then putting all your technological wisdom into play right there and making that a reality. So that was good. That was good. That was fun. I enjoyed it.
It was a knee-jerk reaction episode. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to our Florida reaction video. We're on the road, literally in the car, filming our podcast as we're going down to Disney World to meet up with our families after the Georgia-Florida game. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Interesting episode. But, yeah, it feels good to be back on the actual mics. And this week, Adam, big week.
Yeah,
Georgia versus Mississippi State. A game which I feel like a lot of Georgia fans really haven't looked at this season. They kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's looking forward to Texas. Everybody's looking to this Georgia-Florida game and whatnot. But nobody's really talked about this Georgia-Mississippi State game.
Yeah, tricky game, Clark. Tricky game in a tricky setting, venue. Weird 11 a.m. Central time start, which I think, of course, bodes well for the visiting team, Georgia. But still, it's going to be an odd environment. Still be a rowdy environment against Mississippi State team who don't judge them off of what their record says, right? So a Mississippi State team that I know we're going to get to, Clark, that very well could have beat Texas, very well could have beat Florida, very well could have beat Tennessee. So Jeff Lebby's second year really improved, especially on the offensive side of the football down there in Starkville, man. So, as every game we've seen, maybe with the exception of Kentucky and the SEC, as we've been in some dogfights this year.
Absolutely.
So, I expect no different going on the road into a hungry Mississippi State team. But, a team I think Georgia matches up well in different spots. So they come and play their A game, and they should play some good football and come out there with a good win.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see. So this episode is going to be exclusively looking at the Georgia versus Mississippi State game.
Yep.
Bulldogs versus Bulldogs, mano e mano. We're going to look at some history. Not a lot of history in this game. I mean, there's some good games Georgia's had. I think we've really owned this, it's not a rivalry, but owned this series. We'll talk about Georgia's offense, what they have to do against Mississippi State's defense. And then vice versa, we'll talk about Georgia's defense and how they're going to slow down this Jeff Lebby offensive attack.
That's right.
We'll also have some Week 11 games that we'll pick. And then at the very end, we'll have a score prediction for the game. So stay tuned. This is going to be a fun episode. Adam, I didn't realize this. Georgia this week is going for win number 900. And
oh, wow.
If we win this game,
we
would be the ninth FBS team to reach 900 wins. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. Big deal. So, very just storied program, man, and a lot of just great wins over the years. And, definitely a blue blood program. I mean, you got people out there in the country that don't want to give Georgia that title, but I think definitely what's happened the past few years combined with just overall just consistency, man, you can't leave Georgia out of the conversation being a blue blood program.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion.
I was about to say, at what point do we qualify as a blue blood? I know traditionally speaking, a lot of people leave Georgia out of the blue blood conversation, right? That you got the Texases, the Nebraska. I don't know how is Nebraska blue blood, but Georgia's not.
And when do you fall out of the blue blood conversation? If it's all about, national titles, because Georgia's consistently won football games and played at a high level throughout its history, man. And outside of a run there in the early mid 90s, then, they're competitive in the SEC. A good bit, and obviously in the early 80s, man, and even throughout the 70s, won a couple of SEC championships. And since Dooley got there in the 64 or so. I think you definitely have got to qualify them as one. But you look at Notre Dame hadn't won a national championship since 1988.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what used to be the knock on Georgia since 1980. So, Notre Dame's coming up here in three more years. They haven't won a national championship since 40 years.
When's the last time they've won a conference championship?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. I
mean,
yeah, so
I think you're right. I mean, Georgia has the resume, no doubt. And think about the bowl wins, bowl games.
Right.
I mean, bowl games absolutely. Up to, you know, up until the playoff era were a big deal. And Georgia, I mean, I think we still own the longest streak for bowl games.
Yeah.
Or I guess now it would be like postseason play, if you will.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, win number 900, that would be absolutely huge for this program, and it's very attainable.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a blessing, man, that knowing that even though there's been years where we're not going to play for a championship, SEC or national championship, you always, after the Tech game, Thanksgiving weekend, got to see Georgia play at least one more football game.
Right.
And that's something that I think we take for granted as Georgia fans. Like, oh, we're always going to have that postseason play. But you go look at some of these other programs out there across the country and across the South, historically, been several times that they've had just dud years where they don't even make a bowl game.
Including some of our rivals.
Exactly. And keep an eye, might not be one in Clemson, South Carolina this year.
That would be great. Oh, man.
But I don't know now with the playoff, if, you know, what bowl eligibility. It used to be six wins. I guess obviously it still is, but they might sneak in there and get six wins. But still, I mean, you can't take for granted getting bowl eligible and getting to play in a bowl. And then in Georgia's case, man, it's been a long time since there's been a bowl game that we would classify not significant, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely blue blood program in my opinion.
Yeah. Mississippi State, they're one win away also from becoming bowl eligible. I think they'll get bowl eligibility some point this season.
Well, good.
And, yeah, I mean, Adam, good. They're 5-4 this year. Let's just go ahead and start talking about this Mississippi State team and the series here.
Okay.
Yeah, they're currently 5-4. Let's back up a little bit. Georgia owns a series 21-6 all time. We have five straight wins. The last loss was, what, 2010?
2010, yeah.
In Starkville, right?
Yeah, in Starkville.
Were terrible. You there?
I wasn't at that one. I had a high school football game that night. I went 5 years before that in 2005 for DJ Shite. We barely beat them that year, too. I want to feel like the SEC championship year. Tornado weathers. I saw a poncho fly out of the stadium. Like, literally, we were sitting in the upper deck, and a poncho just flew straight out of the stadium.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, you act like that's some, like, wild thing.
It is wild. When have you seen a straight just poncho, like a balloon, just fly out of the stadium?
I mean, when ponchos are like, what, an ounce, if that?
But I mean, when have you seen, like, I mean, all the football games, you know.
I've never seen one fly out of the stadium.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it was tornadic winds that we had. And if you've ever been to Starkville, Mississippi, you're in the middle of just flat, just cow pasture, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Wait a second. Hold up. We got to go back to a word you just used. Tornadic?
Tornadic.
Is that a word?
Tornadic winds.
If that is a word, I'm going to be incredibly impressed.
Tornadic winds.
Tornadic? Tornadic is an adjective that means relating to, characteristic of, or constituting a tornado.
Of course it does.
Adam, I'm proud. That's a great word.
I mean, yeah. I mean, of course. That's the adjective I was trying to use there, right?
I should have never doubted you.
It flew out of the stadium. I mean, it was wild. We had to hunker down in a bathroom at one point in time because we thought there was some. So I'm telling you, if anybody's listening to this that was at that 2005 Georgia-Mississippi State game, I'm not exaggerating when I mean there was literally tornadoes touching down the state of Mississippi that night.
Golly.
Think
why
it was
were
early
y'all in
October.
The stadium?
Huh?
Why were y'all in the stadium?
We got in the stadium early that day. Mm. Yeah, but I saw, that poncho, though. I'll go to my grave watching that Georgia Bulldog poncho just fly that upper deck.
Was it red and black
one? Gone. Oh, yeah. It was one of them old ones. Like, I don't know if they still make them anymore, but a lot of them now just have the G's on them. But it was red, and it had the old Bulldog, the original Bulldog secondary logo on it, the face. And, yeah, that thing, I don't know. Somebody just let loose of it. That thing, it was gone.
Mm.
Gone. I mean, got sucked up into a funnel.
That's terrible. Yeah, I'm glad nobody got hurt from what you remember, right?
No. I just remembered the thread of maybe having to take shelter, but we're going to watch the Dawgs play. It was a nasty, just ugly game. Ugly game, man.
Yeah.
Old Sylvester Croom was leading the Mississippi State Bulldogs back then. Do you remember old Sly Croom?
I can't say that I
do. Oh, you got to remember Sly Croom.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. He was a...
No pun intended there. Doesn't ring a cowbell. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, that 2010 game was awful. 2010 season was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Colorado that year, too.
I guess the next time we would have played them would have been, what, 2017? Is that right? At home against Dan Mullen and Nick Fitzgerald?
At home, yeah. No, we played them in 2011 at home.
That's right. Yeah, beat them.
I remember that. That was my freshman year at Georgia. And then I don't think we played them then until 2017.
Yep, so 17-20, we smoked them in Athens.
Yeah, and the blackout, black jerseys. Yeah, COVID game, weird.
22, weird first half game.
Yeah,
then we come back and win. Ladd McConkey
right.
had that end around. That was beautiful. That was an awesome
play. Right, it was. That was real good.
That was my first trip to Starkville there. And then 24, we played them last year. Yeah. Beat them 41-31.
Sure did.
It was a lot closer of a game than what we expected under year one with Jeff Lebby over there at Mississippi State. So, yeah, I mean, some interesting games. You know, once again, Georgia thankfully has been on the winning side of most of these. Georgia is currently 4-0 against Mississippi State under Kirby, so that's good. I mean, Kirby has a proven track record of winning against Mississippi State, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything this Saturday. You can throw that out the window.
Let me just say this. That 17 game was one of the most underrated games in the Kirby Smart era.
I agree. That was a turning point.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say, you could make an argument. I mean, a lot of people like to talk about the win of South Bend, and of course that one, but that could be the catalyst of what we see now, and especially with these home game environments being just a little bit different than what it was years back. But that place was rocking that day. You know, I mean, that was a top, what were they, top 15, right? Mississippi State team under Dan Mullen coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just remember Roquan, like you mentioned earlier, about killing Nick Fitzgerald that day. But
yeah,
the flea flicker, it was great.
I'll be honest, I've never, oh man, that flea flicker right there was the loudest I've ever heard Sanford Stadium on the field.
Yeah.
Now I've sat mostly up in the seats, but on the field that day, my gosh, I mean, guys were just turning around like, this is insane. I mean, like players were on the field just looking at each other like, gosh.
Well, I think, man, what it was back then, looking back in that era, and how great it was, the climb, climbing up to where Georgia is now.
Mm-hmm.
But 16-8-4, some disappointing losses, win the Liberty Bowl, Kirby's second year. It's time for that second year jump. And, of course, what every Georgia fan's wanting is for Kirby Smart to come in and be the next Nick Saban, win multiple national championships at Georgia and make Georgia Alabama, right? So we're seeing what it's going to be that second year. You go and you win a very dramatic game in South Bend, Indiana, going up to Notre Dame. But then it's like you validated even more that Georgia is now ramping it up to that next level after beating a really good Mississippi State team that year, they were
humming.
Especially at that point in time in the season where they were projected. And it's like, man, we got a big win against Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame team. Then we'll go do it against Mississippi State. And it's just the excitement, man. I wish I could go back and relive that moment, just knowing that, oh, this is something special that's brewing.
Yeah.
You know, and of course it was, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then just the memory since that game that we've got to live has just been amazing. I never could have fathomed it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
That's good stuff.
So let's bring it back to this year, 2025. Once again, Mississippi State is 5-4 on the season. They are 12th in the SEC, so not the worst, but they're definitely bottom half. They have wins over Southern Miss, Arizona State. That was a fun game, very entertaining game to watch if you want to go back and watch one of them. Alcorn State, Northern Illinois, and Arkansas.
Yeah.
What a resume.
Yeah, I mean, I think they beat Arkansas for the first time and snap a – what was their SEC game losing streak?
It was bad. I don't know.
I mean, it was getting historic.
Yeah.
It was getting up there. I forgot. I mean, it might have been like 16 or something.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
So Arkansas was their first SEC win of this season. And like you just said, it's been their first SEC win in quite a while.
Right.
I don't know the exact number, but they have losses to Tennessee, 41-34 in overtime. All right. They have a loss against Texas A&M, 31-9. They lost in the Swamp to Florida, 23-21. And then they also lost to Texas at home, 45-38 in overtime. Adam, it is worth noting that they have taken both SEC teams that they played at home to overtime.
Ah, good point, Clark.
And does that not make you a little nervous there?
Yeah, I think any game right now makes me nervous. Yeah. You know, come to learn, right? But you feel good because of just how our football team, what this identity's turned into, of just the resiliency that it is. So, I mean, I think it's definitely going to be a game that is going to be could very well be a four quarter football game.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, so let me think here. Yeah, I guess we'll talk about Georgia's offense here, what they need to do against Mississippi State.
All right, let's talk about it.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't have a good segue into this.
No, that's right. Just
one little note, though.
Yeah, give us a note.
For what it's worth, too, Mississippi State ranks 130th in FBS for penalties allowed. So that's like almost dead last in FBS.
Dang. So for penalties allowed, they're 130th.
Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of penalties.
That's what, okay. Yeah.
That's what that means. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Penalty efficiency.
Penalty efficiency. Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody, all these stats categories.
I know.
You got to make it like sound good with a word like efficiency. Whenever you put efficiency in front of or behind something,
yeah.
You know, when you're describing it, it makes it sound like it's very important to look at this. these numbers have been documented here, right?
Yeah. So, all right. So with that said, let's look at Mississippi State's efficiency on defense.
Pitiful.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Pitiful.
Adam, Mississippi State's run defense is average at best. They allow 162.1 yards per game on the ground. That's 94th in the nation.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to say, and I want to say Georgia is averaging about 180 yards on the ground offensively. So you look at that, that's your matchup right there.
Yeah.
If you're Georgia, What I'm doing is I'm running the football. That sounds just crazy, right? Run the football. But do it. If you can't run it against this team, we're going to struggle. But obviously Georgia's had a lot of success running the football this year.
Yeah.
Much, much more success than where we were this time last season in terms of running the ball. And so I think, you know, another thing, too, to look out for, Mississippi State – also ranks 130th in the country for time of possession. And so this is going to be – if I'm Mike Bobo and Kirby Smart, I'm playing keep away. I don't want this Mississippi State offense to have the ball at all. So I'm going to really milk the clock. This is one of those get in, get out with the win kind of a games, because I'm going to tell you something. Mississippi State, they're a scrappy football team. They're – listen, 5-4, it sounds like they're awful. But man, you got to look out, and they're kind of in that wounded animal mode themselves. I know we said that about Florida. Mississippi State's in the same boat.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it and see that. I think this game's going to be where Georgia's strength is going to look very good matched up against Mississippi State's biggest weakness on both sides of the football, talking about both teams. But then on the flip side of it, I think you're going to see that Mississippi State's their biggest strength and what they do the best as a team, doesn't match up well against Georgia's biggest weakness overall on both sides of the football, right?
Yeah.
Talking about Georgia being able to run the football against Mississippi State's defense, and then Mississippi State being able to throw the football against Georgia's secondary, right? So, I mean, I think it's going to be a game where Georgia's offense, like you said, Clark, I really like the idea of being able to get what we can on the ground, eat up time of possession, man, slow this football game down, and get away with a win.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to put up some points for this Georgia offense and for Gunnar Stockton, Mike Bobo and this offense to home. And I think it's going to be one that if we're going to win, you're going to have to do it, right?
Right. I tell you, you know, our offensive line should be able to protect well. I've watched some Mississippi State this season. Their defensive front seven, I should say, not – super impressed by them. I mean, they kind of can get after you.
Yeah.
They do bring a lot of heat. Who is their defense coordinator? Do you know off the top of the dome?
I don't know off the top of the dome.
I'm going to
look that up. I do not know who Mississippi State. There's been so much just
change,
transition there.
Churn, for sure. They do bring a lot of pressure, though. I know they got after Arch Manning several times when they were playing Texas, and they have the ability to, but I don't think – they're just going to get home with rushing three, rushing four. They need help. So
Coleman Hutzler.
Okay, tell us about Coleman.
He sounds like he should be Ole Miss as a defense coordinator, but just by name. Just by name.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Coleman. He doesn't sound like a Mississippi State guy. I mean, he sounds like an Ole Miss guy, like he should be in Oxford, right?
Uh-huh.
Coleman, man, this is his second year. Came in with Jeff Lebby.
Okay.
Right? He was at Ole Miss, actually, in 2021, special teams coordinator. He was at Alabama for 2 years as well. So he was at Texas as a co-defense coordinator in 2020. So,
man.
I mean, this guy, yeah, he's been around. He's been around a little bit. So South Carolina under Muschamp, special teams coordinator, yeah, for Carolina during Muschamp. Run there.
Do we know what kind of defensive scheme he runs?
I do not.
Well, I saw three down linemen when I was watching some film. Maybe they run a 3-3-5 potentially.
Do you think they're 3-4? I don't know. 3-4, maybe.
We'll see.
I don't know. I watched a little bit of that Arizona State game, a little bit of the Texas game.
Yeah.
But I've not watched much Mississippi State, man. Mm-hmm. So.
They're ball hawks, Adam. They lead the SEC with 11 interceptions this season. That's a pretty good amount of picks. So, you know, they do a good job of getting the tips and overthrows.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't need that. Obviously, last week we saw Noah Thomas. I thought a good pass from Gunner to Noah Thomas early in the game against Florida, and that ball was just tipped up in the air. And lo and behold, it's a game changer. And that's what you cannot do on the road. Can't do it in any game. Especially can't do it on the road. Just turn the football over. If you're Gunner this week, you know, do what you've done so far this season. Gunner's made very few poor decisions, right? There's been some, you may have wanted to do something different there, Gunner, but overall, it's nothing crazy, like detrimental that he is.
No. He's not in to put Georgia in a position to lose a football game.
Yeah.
By any means, because of what he's doing, you know.
Right.
And that in itself is just you got to feel good as a fan about going into every game the rest of the year knowing that you have a quarterback who. It's not going to put you in a position to lose a football game, right? So I agree. I mean, of course, the interception Saturday I didn't think was on Gunner. The ball hit Noah in the hands, but sometimes it happens. You get a bad bounce, and, you know, that happens. But really expect a good day for this offense, man, against this Mississippi State defense. Really do. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, me too. All right, Adam. I think the real matchup lies on the other side of the ball. I think you would agree with me. Georgia's defense – mainly their secondary versus Mississippi State's offense in this passing attack. Mississippi State right now is actually averaging more points per game than Georgia, believe that or not. They're at 33.2 points, and Georgia is only at 32.5. So kind of, above average for sure.
Right.
Good, in the good range, not elite by any means, either of these two offenses. But Mississippi State, man, they can put up points against you. Even these SEC teams, right? It's not just the Alcorn States or whatever. Like, they put up, 31 against Texas? Is that right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And so they have the ability to do that. They put up 34 against Tennessee, who I think is a respectable defense. Actually, excuse me, they fact check. 38 against Texas.
21 on the road against Florida.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, with Florida's defensive line, we just put 24 up Jacksonville, right? So, could have put 31, of course. But I mean, definitely, Clark, I feel like a respectable offense. I think Jeff Lebby's a respectable offense mind. Jeff Lebby was the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma when Brent Venables took that job. Had them humming.
Mm-hmm.
Had them humming with Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, with Dylan Gabriel for a year or two there, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So they were humming, and then of course Lebby took the Mississippi State job, and before Oklahoma, Lebby was at Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. When Lane Kiffin took the job, he was Kiffin's first OC there. Lebby is also the son-in-law of Art Browse, the old Baylor coach. Not going to get into really much about Art Browse, just except that he was a good offensive mind,
very good,
good offensive mind, right? So I mean, just kind of that same type of offensive. Just kind of pedigree that you see from the Browse, the Leeches, the Holgersons, the Heupels. I mean, differences in the offense, but they know how to put an offense on the field that can move the football, especially through the air, and put up a lot of points in a hurry.
Yeah.
So I think he's done a good job there. They just hadn't learned to win football games yet. These teams are completely opposite in the sense that Georgia in this culture knows how to win football games, even when adversity's hit them right in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State just pees down their leg when it looks like they can win the football game. That culture hadn't been instilled there yet, right? So Lebby in his second year, though, you see a big step from where they were with the tragedy they had with Leach and then under Zach Arnett, how it was. And then Lebby in now a second year, I think, has them playing respectable football. He's still learning to be a head coach, and that team's still learning to win. So, I mean, this is a game Georgia inexcusable if you lose, in my opinion.
I agree, but man, like you said, I mean, you can let them hang around here.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it could potentially go in favor of Mississippi State if you don't play a clean game.
But I'll say this. I mean, yeah, they got a great offense, but of course Georgia's faced better offense out. I think Tennessee, I think Ole Miss and Alabama. That's right. So, I mean, I think it's definitely an offense that Georgia can stop. And they've turned over the football at least one time every SEC game they played.
Really?
Yeah. So, maybe this is a day that we get an interception or two. We force a fumble or two. We win the turnover margin and get a couple turnovers, set our offense up in good field position and get up a couple possessions on these guys, man. I mean, I think the quarterback's good in the sense that he's definitely not the best quarterback this Georgia defense has played. They got a lot of fast, speedy receivers, man, who definitely what we've seen with the secondary and not getting home with the quarterback that can get behind you and definitely can have some explosive plays, man. So that's what worries me. They're not going to run the football on this Georgia defense, I don't feel like, but they definitely can get theirs through the air, man, and that's what their success has come from this year.
Yeah, they are definitely going to get theirs through the air. That was one of my notes. You know, they spread you out. It's a traditional veer and shoot. That's the terminology, the scheme that they run.
It's like a hopple.
Right.
I mean, essentially, I mean, Hopple was kind of an Art Briles type. I mean, it's all in that same pedigree.
Exactly. So. RPOs, deep shots, that's what they're looking for. And that kind of scares you if you're a Georgia fan because, you know, we've seen guys streaking. We saw it last week against Florida, guys in that third level. And it's like, where are our safeties? What are we doing? And I don't know if it's miscommunication. I don't know if it's guys just not knowing their assignments. But something's got to start changing or we're going to start getting even more exposed against these kinds of teams.
Yeah, and I mean, that's traditionally a Kirby Smart, Glenn Schumann offense that they face, that type of offense, primarily against Heupel the past few years, excluding this year, that Georgia's defense has done very well, had a lot of success against, right? But, of course, we saw earlier in Tennessee this year that was definitely – they put up some points, man. I mean, it's definitely not – the exact same, but definitely similarities in that. And so, I mean, definitely that threat, man, that Mississippi State at home, they get rolling. They can hit some big plays, and you just don't want to get into a shootout. But we've seen if that does, the game gets that way, then Georgia can answer and respond and win that way as well.
Yeah. I'll have y'all remember this. Jeff Lebby last year put up 300-plus passing yards against Georgia with a backup. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Because Shapen was supposed to play. The guy, the quarterback this year, Blake Shapen, senior quarterback, last year he was hurt during the Georgia-Mississippi State game. So they came in to Athens and put up 300-plus passing yards against what I would say was a much better secondary last year. I mean, you had Malachi Starr, so that kind of helps. You know, and so you got to be careful with
this.
They
ran the ball,
too. They ran it, too, yeah, absolutely. They have a great passing attack, as we've mentioned, 250.6 yards per game. They average about 13 yards per catch. So, I mean, that's a first down every time on average that they throw the ball. Blake Shapen. Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good at what he does. He's already has 2,148 yards through the air, 15 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. The guy transferred from Baylor, I think, a couple of years ago. Once again, didn't play him last year. He was hurt, but
yeah,
he's a pretty good quarterback, I'd say. Yeah. He's got two main receivers. One of them, Brennan Thompson. He's 5'9", 170 pounds, very speedy, right? Mm-hmm. He makes up with his speed. And, you know, he has 401 receptions. Good gosh, that'd be insane. 41 receptions, 716 yards. And then also Anthony Evans, former Georgia Bulldog, transferred to Mississippi State. He's a big target there, too. 52 receptions, 653 yards. So those are your two playmakers out on the perimeter that they're going to be using a lot. They've got a few other guys that they'll target, bigger body guys. But, yeah, I mean, between Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans, you're going to see a lot of those two guys hopefully not streaking through our defense
wide open.
But
that's right.
I don't know.
One of them's definitely going to have a big chip on their shoulder playing this Georgia team, and Anthony Evans, right?
Yeah.
So, It's going to be a game where we'll have to come to play. And on the third level of the defense, well, all levels of the defense, right? I mean, you're going to have to get disruptive. I mean, you got Jordan Hall. We learned that he is done for. So it's time for guys like Horton and Ogbacco to step up, man. And I think they are. So you're going to see some guys here this last home stretch, the last third of the season, really going to have to come alive and step it up, man.
Yeah. Good news is we'll be getting KJ back and ready to go. He served his quote-unquote half-game suspension or whatever against Florida in the second half. So we'll get him back. That definitely helps.
Also, DeMelo Jones. He'll be back.
Oh, yeah. I
think he's listed questionable in the injury report this week, but I think he's been practicing.
Good.
So
that's good. I mean,
and
we need
Chris Cole, too.
Yeah. So we need all the help we can get, man. And, you know, injuries are part of it, but yeah, I mean, you got to step up on that defensive line. We got to get disruptive at them because I'm going to tell you something. This is also a good thing for Georgia fans and just the Georgia team in general. What was I going to say? Hold up. I have a note here somewhere.
Did you lose a note?
It's tackles for loss. Hold up. Oh, this is embarrassing. Oh, here we go. I got it. Sorry. Mississippi State this year has allowed 29 sacks this season. That is terrible. That's 3.2 per game on average. They rank 124th in FBS. If we cannot get to the quarterback this week, I'm going to be kind of concerned.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there is absolutely no reason we shouldn't be able to bring this Shapen kid down a time or two.
Yeah. No.
I didn't realize this either. Georgia is second to last in FBS in tackles for loss this season. We only have 29 tackles for loss. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I, like, looked at the actual number.
Nah.
And to give you some context, Oklahoma at number one, they have 97 tackles for loss to our 29.
Yeah.
That's just wild. And I don't know what it is. I keep saying, oh, well, maybe it's just scheme. Maybe we're doing something schematically where we're just not getting to the quarterback. But I don't know. I don't think that's the case
anymore. But then we were talking about it, man. If you look at the stats, I don't know what it is after the Florida game, comparing the two, Georgia had more sacks this year than they did in the 2022 season.
That's wild.
I mean,
I guarantee it wasn't tackles for loss.
Right.
There's no way that 22 defense would have had only 29 tackles for loss up to this point. So.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Agree with that.
I would much rather have – I know that sounds wild. And technically, a sack is a tackle for loss. But I would much rather have more tackles for losses than I would sacks because that means you're blowing up plays in the backfield, yes.
That's right.
But also – you're blowing up those screen plays.
Mm-hmm.
You're stopping the run. You're stoning those guys at the line of scrimmage. I'd much rather see that. So that's right. The stat.
And you got good sideline
right.
speed, too.
Yeah. Speaking of, man, I don't think we took enough time to appreciate C.J. Allen. I know you kind of shouted him out last podcast, whatever. C.J. Allen had a heck of a game.
He did, man. He's really, I think, the past few games, really just stepping up, being the leader of that defense. And I think, you know, had some rough parts a little bit here beginning of the year and whatnot, but I think, man, he's dialed in. I mean, I really love him, love what he has meant to this program, and excited to see his play down the line these next four games, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was very encouraged with what he did. I mean, just looked like shades of Roquan out there in Jacksonville. I felt like some of the times he just stoned DJ Lagway, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then great to see number three flying around the field of that inside linebacker position. Love it.
Yeah, going to need him this week. Adam, you mentioned it. They have a decent rushing attack. Nothing spectacular. They're 66th in FBS, Mississippi State is. They only get about 157 yards per game. They've got two guys, Devon Booth and Fluff Bothwell.
Fluff.
I had to do a double take at that.
Fluff.
All right. That's his name. I don't know if it's on his license, but that's Fluff. What they call him.
All right.
Fluff and Devon, they have combined for 975 rushing yards a season. And they like to throw to their running backs, too. I think that's going to be something we got to look out for, especially those linebackers, because a lot of times they will key those running backs. And if you're getting a lot of crisscrossing, kind of your eyes are in the backfield too much, that's when, you know, you get those balls right over the heads of those middle linebackers. So you got to be careful with that.
We've struggled, honestly, man, with even just running backs just out in the flats getting the ball, right? Mm-hmm. Or just any receiver, any passes to guys out in the flats where it's one-on-one scenarios and we're not been able to to properly tackle. They break a tackle, get a lot of yards after catch, man. That extends drives. And, you know, that's something, too, that I felt like this year, just to me, I don't know his stats or anything about it, but just from the naked eye of me, I feel like, and I could be wrong with this, that it's been a lot of just teams just really utilizing, just getting the ball out in the flats, and a lot of, you know, big-time plays happening that way. Yeah. When I say big-time plays, it's being able to extend drives on, like, third and five, third and six or so, just being able to dump that off, make a guy miss, and scamper upfield a little bit. So, yeah, I'm sure they're going to be doing that. I mean, obviously, Clark, it's going to be with this team. What you want to do every single game, and what Georgia does well, is make a team one-dimensional. And, of course, for Georgia, and what you're going to do is you're going to make sure they can't run the football on you. Make them throw the ball, and you know they're going to have to throw the ball to beat you. And hopefully your guys are just going to be ready to play that day, and the talent's there, and should be better to limit Mississippi State doing any damage downfield throwing the football, man. But, I mean, you know that's what they're going to be doing. Some guys are going to have to step up, and there's a great opportunity, man, a great opportunity. As good as this Mississippi State offense is, this is a great opportunity to boost some confidence in these guys,
yeah,
to cause a little bit of havoc, get a couple turnovers, man, get a pick downfield, force a fumble, get a couple sacks, man, and really just I feel like, and I know we've been saying this, and probably people are tired of the glass half full with the defense kind of we're talking about the sense. Maybe this is when it just – right. But I just think there's a good opportunity to go on the road, 11 a.m. Central kickoff, man, and this defense hopefully just come out with his hair on fire and really can do some good things against an offense, though, that can beat you if you're not ready to go.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think that's a good analysis there, Adam. Yeah, anything else you want to say?
No, that's about it. I don't really know. I mean, I hadn't really watched the play a lot, you know. Wish I had, but I do know that, of course, they're going to get theirs to the air. Jeff Lebby will have them ready to go. I mean, I don't be surprised if they just have a script that just makes us look silly on the opening drive, their first offensive possession.
Yeah.
As far as flying down the field and getting seven, right? So they're going to want to start out hot, get that crowd fired up, and then when our offense gets on the field, get behind that defense and those cowbells ringing, man. But I'm glad it's not a night game like the last time Georgia went up there in 22. You know, that's a cold November night, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You're there for that. So I'm glad it is an 11 a.m. Central kick. It feels good. Just I would love nothing more to see us play a complete game from opening kick to finish, man. Even be able to play some younger guys and rest some guys and get a start on getting ready for Texas next Saturday night. But this is a big one first. This is the perfect trap game, man. If you're not coming off an emotional win, the Florida game is always emotional. I don't care what Florida's record is, what Georgia's record is. That whole trip to Jacksonville, that setting, that game, how it plays out, it's emotional. It takes a toll on you. And then, of course, all the hype, getting a team like Texas coming to Athens for the first time. And then you sandwich this trip to Starkville in between it. For a lot of programs, it might not bode well, right? And then you could definitely get popped. But, yeah, it's definitely a stereotypical trap game. But I just don't think there are trap games with this Georgia team, Clark, in the sense of – and I was just saying, well, you know, we only beat Florida 24-20. We have all these close games, yes. But this team, I feel like, is – they are what they are at this point, but they find ways to win, and they don't panic. Yeah. They don't panic, even if they get behind the eight ball, get behind a couple scores. They believe in themselves. They believe they're still going to find a way to win the football game, and they do. And they do, and I think Saturday will be no different, but it would be nice to see this team just jump out in front of them, put their foot on the throat, and hammer it down, and let's get back to Athens with them with a nice win, hopefully no injuries, get ready for Texas.
Yeah, like I said, 5-4, don't be fooled. This Mississippi State team
Gotta respect them for sure.
Yeah, they have all the potential to beat us, and I fully expect this to be, no pun intended, another dogfight.
There you go.
So, all right.
There you go.
That's it. Georgia, Mississippi State, going to be a big one. We've got a score prediction coming up here in just a little bit. But first, we got some interesting Week 11 games alongside Georgia, Mississippi State.
Let me throw this in there, too, while I'm thinking about it, too. Man, I want to shout out Peach State Pride.
Yep.
Of course, I'm wearing their hat. Go get some memorabilia from them or some clothing, some apparel. I wore one of the Peach State Pride college shirts for the Florida game this past week. Nice. Felt great, man. Lightweight. Perfect. They got some great looking new polos out as well right now and hats. Christmas season coming up. Go stock up, man, and on some winter gear and some Georgia Bulldog gear for Peach State Pride. PeachStatePride.com.
Love it. Yeah, I wore mine too, man. I love my Peach State Pride shirts. I wear them to church too, man. Like you can literally wear them everywhere.
Anywhere. They're just sharp, man. Yeah. It's a good looking, classy shirt. I like it. Yeah. I like it. And I love their hats, the way they fit. I mean, I've been wearing them for years on this set and everything. So go check them. Also go to roast60.com. We actually got some merchandise over there. Coffee mugs, man. Getting wintertime, get you a coffee. Everything, get you a mug, Roast 60 mug, drink your coffee out of. But go to roast60.com. I think a lot of people out there don't know we have this website. Roast60.com. There's merch there that Clark set up, some other cool stuff on that website. It could be Roast 60 spelled out or the number 60.
Boom. Yes, love that. Thank you for plugging that. Yeah. I always forget to do that.
We always forget to do that. And I feel like there's some people, obviously some people know about it, but I feel like there's some people out there that maybe just started listening, had no idea that's out there. So go visit it and see.
There you go.
Might find something you like.
Yeah, we need to put some more out there. I got some more ideas for some stuff. But, yeah, more merch potentially coming on the way. Hey, but if it does, if we do have some more merch, you know who's going to know about it first?
Our patrons.
Our patrons 100% right. will. And that's why you need to be a patron member right there. We let all of our patrons know about upcoming stuff well before anybody else knows about it. They also get exclusive content, stuff that nobody else gets to see. And so, yeah, it's a great way to support us. It's $5 a month. Go visit at patreon.com/row60 and, become a patron. It's awesome. We're growing. We appreciate all of our patrons for helping us keep the lights on at Row 60. You guys are awesome. Thank y'all so much.
Love it, man.
We're just going to plug all of our stuff.
Plug it all in right there. Throw it in right there, man.
All right, Adam. Week 11 games. Let's update the people on the records right now. It's gotten a little closer.
There we go.
So I'm still in the lead. I've got a lead of 34-14. And then, Adam, you are right behind me, 32-16. So
there we go.
Two games back. You got some time to catch up. Still a lot of football left on this season schedule, whatever you want to say. So week 11 games. Let's start off with number 2 Indiana going on the road to Penn State. 12 o'clock Fox. Adam, yeah, you look at this at face value and you're like, Indiana's probably going to smoke Penn State. Penn State doesn't have their head coach anymore. It's a 12 o'clock Fox game. Are you going to take the bait though? Do you think this is a trap game?
Nah.
At all?
No. Nah. Give me Indiana, man. I think Kurt Cignetti's going to make another statement. I think put another feather in his cap going to Happy Valley and putting up some points maybe. Yeah. So I think Penn State, especially after kind of maybe having one last stand. I didn't get to see all the games, just saw the score, kind of the box score of it. Of course, when we were tailgating in Jacksonville, they played Ohio State last week. Kept it close at halftime. Then Ohio State ran away with it in the second half. Don't really know what happened in the second half, but I feel like this Penn State team is – looking for a new coach. A lot of players entering the portal. I think their tight end just entered the portal. Mm. Big-time tight end did. And other guys think about their decisions. I think, of course, just out of pride, they'll play hard. But I think Indiana is on a mission, man. And cannot wait to see what this Indiana team's all about. I think Saturday will be another good just kind of a, I don't know, just meter there to see if they're just continuing to improve and have a big rematch from their regular season game where they got outed last year against Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship this year, possibly getting to meet Indiana, Ohio State, and look forward to that to see if Indiana's the real deal or not. But they've proved it definitely so far this year. So give me Indiana.
I was just seeing if you'd take the bait there. But no.
Are you?
No, I'm not taking Penn State. Indiana by 21, I'd say. I think they're going to go in steamroll and make a statement. This was a Penn State team. Everybody was talking about preseason. And this is an Indiana team. Nobody was talking about preseason, really. I mean, some pundits, but Indiana, man, it's crazy to say it. I think they are the real deal this year.
Yeah.
At least until playoffs begin. Jeez Louise.
I mean, their ticket's punched, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see them losing. They could. They very well could Saturday. But I feel like, man, that they just – obviously, the college football playoff committee, the new rankings just came out. They're number 2 right now. So,
yeah
crazy thing. Penn State number 2 preseason, and now Indiana's number 2 in November playing Penn State. So, yeah.
Yep. All righty, Adam. Let's move on.
All right.
Big game right here. Big 12 game right here.
Oh, on ABC too.
Yeah, nice. we got number 7 BYU. Excuse me. Number 7 BYU at number 8 Texas Tech. Texas Tech is favored by 10.5 points. 12 o'clock, ABC. Yeah. Who do you like here, Adam?
I love the Big 12 Conference. I talked about it in the preseason, man. That's entertaining football. Anytime you get the chance to just kind of study the Big 12 standings and what's going on in the Big 12 or watch a Big 12 football game, do it. Since they merged kind of the leftovers of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 together, I think it's created some very highly entertaining football. Mm. And then you add NIL for programs like Texas Tech to be able to utilize it and then become a top 10 program. But then you get BYU, kind of just the culture that they have, just getting some guys that love BYU, right? Love
right.
The Cougars.
Yeah.
Love their faith for what they believe in up there, right? I mean, their culture, whatnot, and buy into that and run through a brick wall for their coach and their what they believe in at BYU, at Brigham Young University, right? Yeah. And then versus the Mercenaries of Texas Tech, who've got a great fan base and a great culture down there in Lubbock. Love Joey McGuire, what he stands for, man's old Texas ball coach. Clash of cultures right here. I do not like BYU.
Mm.
One bit.
Okay.
Give me the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Nice. Okay.
Give me the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Big win. They need to have this win. Huge. I mean, you win this game, you're sitting in pretty position for the Big 12 championship, but also, man, that getting a playoff spot. And it's looking like what the committee is really respecting the Big 12. So three Big 12 teams in striking distance, BYU, Texas Tech, and Utah.
Yeah. We shall see.
Big game. Big game.
I think I'll take Texas Tech as well just
there
because
we go.
It's at home.
Guns up.
I do like BYU, though. I don't understand the BYU hatred. Is it just the fact that they're Mormons? you didn't want to say it, so I'll say it for you.
I don't know. BYU, they provide some good moments in college football history and some good players out there.
Yeah.
Just not my culture. Let me
okay,
just say
fair
that.
Enough. Fair enough.
I respect the pride and loyalty that their alumni, their fan base, and everything they have for everything over there in Provo, right? Beautiful yeah. setting over
oh,
there.
Oh, man.
Beautiful. You can't yeah. beat that. I mean, but just not my culture.
Okay.
And that's okay.
All right, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, I think you would fit in with the Lubbock crowd a little bit more.
Yeah. So I'm going with the Texas Tech Red
Okay.
Raiders. There we go.
Fair enough. All right, Adam, let's move on here. We've got an SEC matchup here, a fun one. Number 3, Texas A&M. TAMU is what I wrote, and that's why I
TAMU.
TAMU. TAMU. Number 3, Texas A&M goes on the road to Columbia, Missouri. What a dump that place is. Sorry, Ryan Day, if you're listening. Not the Ohio State Ryan Day.
Right.
The only Ryan Day we need.
That's right.
He's a Row 60 listener. Anyway, from Missouri. Texas A&M at Missouri, 3:30 ABC. Texas A&M is favored by 6.5 points here.
Hey, you pick this one first.
Man, this one's tough. This one's tricky. You know, I think I'll – Texas A&M, man, they look like the real deal. But yeah. Elijah – is he starting to flirt with some job openings?
I mean, you look at it. I mean, Mike Elko is going to be dialed in, obviously.
Right.
I mean, the hype is high at A&M. They look great against LSU. Got Brian Kelly fired the other week. They're dialed in, man. But they're having some rat poison, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see how Elko's team responds to the rat poison now. A lot of people saying they look like the best team in the country.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see where this program goes the next few games, how they look, man. Of course, you got a big game in Austin, Texas looming in a couple weeks. Elko was mentioned for the Penn State job. Drinkwitz has been thrown around. Both of these coaches are going to get paid either way.
Yeah.
Whether they stay at their respective schools or they go somewhere else. I think Elko, of course, is going to stay in College Station, get a huge payday. Drink will probably get another big payday from Missouri, but also could go somewhere else. So, I mean, a lot of just outside noise as well with it. But I think, a little bit closer being in Columbia, if it was in College Station, I think it'd be no doubt. But I think give me Texas A&M winning a fun one to watch.
Okay. All right. Adam, just to be different, and just because I think Mizzou has the defense, I'm going to take Missouri
in this. Right.
At home,
3:30,
the sun will start to set, and I think this is going to be a defensive slugfest right here. But give me Missouri by, I don't know, field goal or something.
Yeah, tough place to play up there.
Mm-hmm.
Ferret Field.
Yeah. Handing Texas A&M their first loss of the
season.
Right. We'll see.
And
if that's
Georgia,
the case, puts Georgia in the driver's seat.
Good position for a rematch against Alabama and Atlanta, baby.
Oh, God.
Woo! Give that to me.
Ugh. Wait, how does that work, though? Wait a second. Explain this to me.
But
let's assume here, Alabama Oh, wait, no. Alabama's pretty much a shoe-in, assuming they went out, right? Because their one loss came to Florida State. That's not an SEC.
So they got to beat LSU, Oklahoma. Right. Got them both in Tuscaloosa and then and Auburn. To Auburn.
Right. Okay, so if Georgia has the one loss to Alabama, the SEC loss, and Texas A&M has the one loss to Missouri, why would – like
and
who
they
goes
beat Texas. And then Georgia beats Texas and Mississippi State, and they both go – so they're both 11-1 at the end of the year.
Right,
SEC
right.
loss. I think then – I don't know. You might have to pull out the official SEC rule like we did last year. But I want to say then it's overall SEC opponent strength of record or schedule.
Or margin of victory or something. Yeah, I think you're right.
That's what it goes to.
Yeah.
Jeez. And then I want to say, I think I've been reading that at this point, it looks like it'll probably be Georgia over A&M in that scenario.
Interesting.
Maybe. Okay. Oh, I shouldn't have said that because I don't know that 100%.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a good possibility Georgia will get the tiebreaker over A&M if that is the case.
Yeah.
But I don't know. A lot of football still to be played. Both teams got to play Texas, who looks like they might be ramping it up, or they might not be. I don't know. you know, Texas hadn't done well on the road, or that'll be next week. We'll talk about it. But then Texas gets A&M in Austin. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Yep.
Be fun.
All right, next game is a Big Ten game. Number 9, Oregon, goes on the road to play number 20, Iowa. 3:30 CBS. This is not deserving of a bum-bum-bum-bum.
Nah, not bum-bum-bum-bum. No. It's going to be fun.
It will be.
Going to get to wave at the children. Yep. Love that.
Oregon right now is favored by 6.5 points. Mm. Man, these are tough right here. We got a lot of home dogs, right? A lot of teams that are underdogs at home. Ooh. Man, Iowa always just historically, they pop somebody at home that they shouldn't necessarily do. Okay. Do you think this is the case or not?
Yeah, I mean, Iowa's played Indiana the best out of anybody this year, including Oregon.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I think this Oregon team's trying to peak at the right time.
Right.
And this is going to be a good test. Iowa, I think, got a very favorable ranking from the playoff committee and their debut rankings. But, I mean, obviously, you know, you get Phil Parker, very underrated defense coordinator up there in Iowa. Been very, very, very loyal to Kurt Ferentz in his time up there. And terrible offense historically from Iowa. They put up a little bit more points this year in some of their wins that you see, but the box scores, you know, that might not really tell the tale. I think the offense is still not that great at all. It's going to be a tough game, but I think Dan Lanning will have them ready to go. But give me a four-quarter football game up there, and Dan Lanning beating the Iowa Hawkeyes, man.
Yeah, I've got that too.
I like that matchup.
Yeah. This will be a very fun game to watch, I bet, as we are watching the tail end of the Georgia-Mississippi State game. So,
right.
Yeah, give me Oregon, too. They're battle-tested, especially on the road, that is. They went into Penn State, which, you know, you'll get this Penn State team now, and whatever, you throw that loss out against Oregon. You just kind of toss that out the window. But I think there was something, too, going into that environment. Iowa will be rocking. They always have that place rocking, so. Yeah, give me Oregon, though.
All right. Like it.
We've got two more here. We've got an ACC matchup for kicks and giggles, Adam.
Yes, I'm glad you threw this in there.
Neither of these teams are ranked. Now, had we talked about this preseason, we would have probably said, this would be a good game. This would be a fun one to watch. And it will be a fun one to watch
see
who sucks more.
It'll be fun to watch that both of them have nice, big, open wounds, and you just pour salt right in.
Yeah. Florida State at Clemson. 7 o'clock ACC Network. There might be a total of, 5,000 fans in the stadium, Death Valley. Clemson is favored by 2.5 points. Is Dabo going all in to beat Mike Norvell, Adam, in this game?
Oh, yeah, of course. He's getting fired up, man. I mean, just continues to just say some really idiotic stuff in his post-game press conferences. I mean, it's great. It's glorious. I love it. I love seeing a Clemson loss and then going to peruse where I could find a Dabo Swinney press conference, post-game press conference, and a weekly press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Going on Tiger Debt and all the Clemson boards and everything. I love reading the Clemson forums after that. I mean, it's weird. It's a sickness that I have. I mean, I'm not a normal individual, but I do love to just bask in Georgia's rivals. I mean, what a great time. Auburn is a dumpster fire. Brother Hugh is gone.
Yeah.
Hate that, but he's gone. Mm-hmm. Florida, of course, gone. And it's great. Tennessee actually is getting a little antsy after losing Oklahoma with Heupel up there.
Right.
So, I mean, Georgia Tech just got humbled.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just a great time to be a Georgia fan and looking at these historic rivals that we have, right? So, this game, of course, used to be just the you know, who was going to win their division when it used to be the Atlantic and the Coastal and the ACC. A lot of years, this was going to be the winner of the conference, really. Go back and forth between Florida State and Clemson for several years. This game is completely irrelevant to the ACC standings, and I love it. Give me Mike Norvell and the Florida State Seminoles to go into a Clemson and win. I think you could go up the road to T.L. Hanna High School, and the Yellow Jackets can go in there and win. Maybe the West Oak Warriors as well, right down the road from Clemson. All of them can go into the high school, or go into Death Valley, or the way that what the home field advantage has turned into there for Clemson, and win a football game. That's where we're at with Clemson at home.
West Oak, man, that's yeah.
Give it.
God bless West Oak. They are horrible. man. Adam, I need to wash my tongue out or my mouth out with soap after this. I'm going to take Clemson just because it's in Death Valley.
Mean anything this year.
That's true. I don't know.
I mean, look at who's going into Death Valley and popped them this year.
That's a good point.
The Southern Methodist University Mustangs.
You know what?
The
Syracuse Orange, almost did it.
LSU. I mean, they've lost the Duke game was in. Was that in Durham? I missed that.
Yeah, it was in Durham.
Hey, I had to be in Durham. Still, this is great.
Actually, I'm going to stick to my gut.
They got beat by Manny Diaz's Duke Blue Devils in a shootout by 1 point.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Give me Clemson. I don't want to take Clemson, but I'm going to.
Take them.
I hope
take
I'm wrong, honestly.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I don't want them to get a bowl at all.
No, I don't either. And then Shane Beamer.
Oh.
Is going to.
Shane Beamer goes. Man. I think. Don't they play in Death Valley this year?
No, they. Shane beat him in Death Valley last year.
Oh, so he needs to get him at home in Willie B.
Shane's dominated. He's won the last two in Death Valley. Good. So he hadn't popped him in Willie B. yet.
Well, it's his time.
It's time to do it. It's going to be rocking. Two teams that are going to be very disappointed, but on Thanksgiving Saturday, there's going to be like they just got to get that, just that one of the two, just that satisfaction of just a little bit of a hope for their respective programs by beating the other, and it's going to be just a great pillow fight in Willie B. Cannot wait for that.
This is Florida State, Clemson. This is the pillow fight of the week for sure.
Yeah. Love it, man.
All right. One last game here. SEC
how the
matchup.
Turntables turn.
Yeah. One last SEC matchup here. This one used to decide the SEC West back in the day. No longer does that. LSU at number 4, Alabama, 7:30 ABC. There's no way LSU pulls an upset, right?
I think they're going to come out fired up. I think they're going to come out playing out of their minds. I think they really like the interim head coach. And I think as time goes on, you're going to learn. And, I mean, even to just a common fan out there watching and nowhere near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, it probably comes to no surprise to anybody that not a lot of people in the building really like Brian Kelly.
Ah, really?
Yeah, I mean, what a shocker. So I think with him gone and then a guy who really knows LSU, I think, was it Frank Wilson? Interim head coach. But anyway, they got an interim head coach there who's been around the program a long time. I think the players really like this guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be extra juice kind of during the off week. Kind of same scenario as Florida where there's going to have some juice, some belief going against a rival, going into Tuscaloosa, man, where I think you're going to get LSU's just best effort for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then going to get, you know, second half's going to come around.
Never get flat.
Yeah. But, I mean, heck, man, if somehow LSU finds a way to get a pulse on offense, I think LSU's defense, you know, if they come out motivated and fired up, it's going to be interesting to see what they do against this Alabama offense, right? But
yeah.
I still think Alabama, especially in Tuscaloosa, DeBoer's never lost in Tuscaloosa. Give me Alabama winning, definitely pulling away in the second half. But give me a little bit of life out of LSU to start the game off and be like, oh, here we go then.
All right. I like that. Yeah, I think the same thing for Alabama. They're just going to flatten them in the second half. But, yes, I can definitely see LSU keeping it close there for a minute. So, good week of football.
Yeah, I like that week of football, man. It's just going to keep getting better as we try to shape out a playoff race, conference championship race, man. So, yeah, a lot of questions left to be answered.
Absolutely. All right, well, it's been a fun episode. We're going to wrap this one up. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
That's right.
If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and comment. What is the score going to be for Georgia, Mississippi State? And if you are coming to the game, if you're going out to Starkville, let me know. Let us know on Instagram. Love to meet up with you guys.
Love it. Love it.
And to see you there. So, all right. Georgia versus Mississippi State, 12 o'clock, nooner.
Mm.
Nooner for us here in Eastern Standard Time. It will be an 11 o'clock local kick. Georgia right now is actually favored only by 8.5 points. I think Vegas kind of sees this could get interesting.
Yep.
It's not a double digit spread. Adam, I think I'm going to go with the dogs. I feel really good about the score for some reason. Give me the dogs 37-31. A shootout. All right. A shootout. I don't want it to be a shootout, but it's going to be.
37-31. Now, do you think, is it going to be where we're trailing in the fourth quarter? Come back.
I will put.
Are we going to be losing by like 31-30 with 4 minutes left in the game?
Gosh, Gunner
Stockton lead a drive with about and score a little bit maybe before the 2 minute warning.
And
then we got to hold them from getting a field goal. Or, well, not field goal, but getting, you know, a drive or like a score, go ahead, game winning touchdown.
That would be awful. Look,
is that what you're saying?
I cannot possibly take many more of these games that go into the fourth quarter where Georgia has to come back.
Well, better get used to it.
Yeah. I think there was a stat. This was our fourth comeback win this season against Florida in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Man, it's wild, man. But you got to be proud of it. I know you are, but there's so many people you see like, oh, we shouldn't be. Man, this college football 2025, you see a lot of that.
It's a different animal.
It's a different animal, man, especially in the SEC. So especially against rivals. And to do it against rivals that we've done and rip their hearts out, you've ripped Florida's heart out. You've ripped Auburn's heart out. You've ripped Tennessee's heart out. And none of them were in Sanford Stadium.
Mm.
Ripped Ole Miss's heart out. In Sanford, but I'm talking about your historic rivals, man, that you rip there. As a Georgia fan, there is no better satisfaction than beating those teams plus a couple others, and especially in that style. I mean, yeah, you want to stomp them, but when you give them a little bit of hope and you just rip it out of them and you see their fans just going on tangents because they just can't believe just the heartbreak that they had to suffer yet again to the University of Georgia with 5-game winning streaks, 9-game winning streaks against these, and just they have to prolong another year for some more hope to beat Georgia. As somebody who's been around a long time as a Georgia fan, give me that every single day, man.
Yeah.
You're crazy if you're not just fired up about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it that you want to see Georgia win a game 34-17 or something, but anytime Georgia wins a football game, I'm fired up.
Me too.
Cannot wait to see what's going to transpire because it's going to be a wild ride.
Yep. All right, Adam, wrap it up. Give me your score prediction for this week.
I'm going to go with this. I feel good about Georgia's offense, man. I think we're going to come out humming. I think Georgia's defense is going to be some times where Mississippi State's going to get theirs. But then again, I think there's going to be times where Georgia's defense comes out, forces a turnover, too. I think Georgia's going to win the turnover battle, and that's going to be the difference in this football game. Georgia's going to win this game 34-24. If you're going to Starkville, get your earplugs because they're going to be ringing cowbells all morning. Man, it's going to be a tough game, but this is what life in the SEC is all about. Games like this, sandwiched in between, big-time matchups, man. Don't be fooled by this Mississippi State team, but Kirby Smart and this program, man, I've said it, we've talked about it all year, just the culture's different here. The foundation's been laid that Georgia doesn't go in and just absolutely just get blindsided by a trap game. Might be some adversity, might have to come from behind the fourth quarter. This is a resilient football team that just knows how to win. At the end of the day, Georgia knows how to win, and they have the culture and a head coach that knows how to win. And then at Mississippi State on the other sideline does not have a culture knows how to win football games for, and a head coach that just doesn't know how to finish it yet. But he'll probably get there. He's done a good job there. But at the end of the day, Georgia wins 34-24. Give me the dogs, and let's get back home and get ready for a monstrous 7:30 primetime game against Texas in Athens, man. I can't wait. This is the best time of the year. We love y'all. Go dogs,
baby.